Greetings, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Grog Pod Roguelike Podcast, where each episode we crash land on an island of a roguelike game, strip it bare for made-up rating numbers, and then crash land again on it at the end of the year, if it's good enough, in our yearly recap tournament episode. I am your coin-tossing, horse-riding host of the podcast, Scott Berger, and with me are my my decrepit co-hosts of the forest.
Decrepit, are we? All right, well, I guess this is the decrepit Will, the what is it, maybe I'm agreed stealing your dog.
Golly, well, around these parts these days I'm mostly known as Andrew Horse Snort Harshman,
and it's me, Colin, a guy who lives in the tent in the woods.
Well, this episode you have tuned into is on Kingdom New Lands, released August 9th 2016. Another kind of find it anywhere game between PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch, PC, Android, iOS, and yes, of course, tvOS for your Apple TV. This was mostly by a solo dev with some extra support. So maybe we'll say solo dev asterisk with all that. By one Thomas Noio Vandenberg. I guess Noio is his online handle he goes by, who has developed such previous entries such as Kingdom in 2015, Kingdom New Lands 2016, and Kingdom Two Crowns for 2018. And this was published by Raw Fury, who you might remember from our Blueprints previous episode, and has actually has a quite a collection of Stay Tuned rogue games, running from Bad North, a kind of RTS Viking invasion simulator defense game, Dome Keeper, which maybe we'll be talking about a little bit later, Atomic Crops, Ballionaire, and Star Renegades. So quite the collection under Raw Fury's belt. Your average player of Kingdom New Lands has about 16 hours of gameplay in it, and Kingdom New Lands crashes in on the popularity beach at number 109, most popular roguelike game on Steam, with 11,794 total reviews. Will, what's the one coin description of what one does in Kingdom New Lands?
Sure thing, Scott. Well, it's a three-button tower defense discovery masterpiece. That's what it is.
Masterpiece.
Masterpiece. Yeah, I don't use that lightly. And I could tell, having looked at the reviews here, that this might be a little bit of a contentious sort of a belief. Yeah, but it is, in fact, a masterpiece. And anyone who says otherwise, well, you'll see why they're wrong.
It's a masterpiece of work.
It's a piece of work. Yes. Well, I mean, in the category for yes, masterpiece, yes, this is a masterpiece column, we have the fact that this is a side-scrolling game where the camera is to the side of the character, and you're moving back and forth on one plane of existence. And Will picked it. Famously, Will never appears on side-scrolling, platforming, anything.
I think you... No. You got the right term there the second time. Platformers. Shit games.
Yeah.
Side-scrolling is an acceptable medium.
So here's the thing, Andrew. It's not a 2D game. It's a 1D game. You're only going in one... You're on the one-dimensional line. You're going left or right. There is no up or down. There is no in or out of screen. There's just one cardinal direction.
Well, even so, I think to a layperson or to someone's, you know, grandmother in the 90s, this would be no different than Mario. And I think that's noteworthy that Will pick this game. But no, you're absolutely right. The mechanics are very different. But, you know, mechanics, who cares about all that? All I got to say right up front is that I'm just happy we're finally playing a game that takes as long to play as The Last Spell. This game is such a time suck.
Because you're so sucked into the gameplay that you're just itching to see what's behind that next tree.
Well, you know, to be honest, this game should be infinitely more boring than it is. But the presentation is so top-notch that it keeps my ADHD OCD ass from just bursting into flame, which is a miracle. What do you do in this game, Will?
Well, you are a king or queen, and you are riding a noble steed. And on this 2D plane or 1D plane, depending on who you talk to, there is essentially like your there's five islands. You land on an island, and your boat breaks. And your goal is to rebuild the boat and get the heck off that island and go to the next one. And in order to do that, you're using essentially you have, like I said in the beginning, three buttons, left, right, and then down, where the down button is drop coin or insert coin to spend it, essentially. So that's all it is. You're running left, right, you're dropping coins, and you're essentially trying to build up some defenses. And it's sort of a tower defense thing where hordes of the greed, as they're known, spawn from these portals on the left and or right of you. And then they come in. Yeah, they're little ghouls. They're called greed because they steal things, and then they basically try.
Well, you wouldn't know that unless you had read the wiki. Because there's no wiki, there's no explanation for anything in the game. So I just think of them as little gremlins or little ghouls.
Well, you could incorrectly believe that. That's true. I mean, this is one of those games where, yeah, it is nice to actually, like, once you get hooked by, like, the what the heck does this thing do, you look at the wiki if you really can't figure it out. And I think that's a totally fine way to play the game. Because it's really hard to determine, for instance, like, what does a hermit do when you get it? And you guys haven't even advanced to that point that you have seen a hermit. But like, you essentially, like, it'll be like a hut in the woods. You'll pay four coins and this kind of decrepit thing comes out of it and it just stands there. You pay a coin, it jumps onto the back of your horse and you're like, what the hell do I do with this? And then like, there's no instructions. And unless you have a three, like a built up like turret defense and it's at the third level, you'll never see the prompt that says, hey, this will let you build that three level archery thing nest into the next, like, whatever the special ability of the hermit has. And so it's like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, that's good to just read about. But thankfully the hooks in this game and how, like, interesting and fun it is get you, or at least propelled me anyways, to do that and to do the investigation.
I did
real quick, if I may interrupt very briefly, how was this game playable on launch? There was no wiki when the game was brand new.
I never had any problems with that.
All right, very well. Sorry,
well, also, crucially to the point, like, Kingdom New Lands is effectively a sequel to a ye olde Flash game. What's the note that I have here? That started as a personal project by the solo dev at that point to learn horse animations. And I think that, like, number one, the horse animation looks great. So
all the animation looks good.
Yeah, all the animation in this game is really good. I think
In this game looks good.
Yes. Even the sound looks good in this game.
Critically, there is always a reflection, too. Beautiful reflections.
But, yeah, I think this game kind of was maybe like an upgrade to the original, and that, like, that I can imagine when Kingdom, like, New Lands launched, it was like, oh, okay, like, there was already a wiki for the original Kingdom game that already kind of bespoke enough that, like, and maybe like enough of a following and player base that was like, oh yeah, we already know how to play this game, it's just like more stuff added to it.
I don't like when you have to go to a wiki to understand how the game works.
And I think
this game feels more than most, it feels like you're not supposed to do that. Like, every time I looked at the wiki,
right?
It felt like I was literally cheating.
Like, you
it feels like
the
point of this game is to, like, experience it and find out by yourself. But then it also punishes you so hard for understanding it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Andrew in our Discord chat asked the same question that I had, which is, there's the wall dirt, which Will didn't know what we were talking about, but there's like little mounds of dirt that you find along this map line, and those are places that you can build walls. Also unclear to me and Andrew whether or not that was what spawned bunnies, because it kind of looked like maybe it's also a bunny mound. Mm-hmm. And if I could not, without like stopping and trying to study it, I could not figure out what causes bunnies to happen. And bunnies are apparently like the main source of income for this game.
I felt like I kind of dug my own grave. I threw the coin into the grave builder for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Because I went in with the explicit like self-challenge of like, okay, I'm gonna go in without looking at the wiki. I want to experience this with as much raw fury as I possibly could, because Will really likes this game, so there's gotta be something behind it. And I think this game starts off very well, where like you're just kind of like riding a horse through the forest. Everything's all murky and mysterious. There's this crash, like Viking ship, and you're like greeted by a ghost in the forest with a crown, and it's all done without any text to hold your hand or explain what's going on. It's very, I think, well done environmental storytelling. And then like the ghost kind of leads you to like the central camp of like, oh, okay, like this is my main camp. I know roughly this is supposed to be like a tower defense game.
And then you receive the game's only text instructions. There are like five or six instructions. It's like, okay, like recruit these people, build the camp. I forget the other ones. And then at some point it says like expand and defend or something to that effect.
Yeah, like it just has the word like this, the text above it saying, come, like follow me. And you're just like, okay, I get. And like the little button or the little prompts that come up on the thing of like, put coin in here, it does the thing. I'm like, okay, like, yeah, this is starting to make sense. I'm getting it. Sure. And then that's, I think, where it kind of fell off the rails for me, because of this self-imposed challenge where I was like, oh yeah, I could go and look at the wiki, but I'm smart enough, I could figure this out. And it just felt like this inscrutable puzzle that like it felt like I couldn't understand the cause and effect of like what was happening, and trying, and like, normally it feels like with rogue games like this, that like the try, it doesn't work, failure, repeat loop is short enough that you can be like, okay, yep, boom, reset. And you're right back in it. And you're like, okay, now I know what to do this time. I don't know. Like, I think it kind of trapped me several times of like, well, I'll just build this thing and I'll build that thing. And then there's this like this whole economy aspect to it. Okay. So it's like one dimensional StarCraft if you couldn't control where your units were going, is the vibe that I got from maybe the first few hours that I played.
And also a horse.
I think, Colin, what you meant was, and also
oh, right, yeah. A slow horse that keeps breathing real hard.
Those are the horse snorts I was referring to earlier. This horse be running out of stamina. And listeners, you got to understand how integral this horse. You can't get off the horse. You're on the horse. You're fused to this horse.
And it's unclear if you're a separate being. Might just be a centaur.
It's true. And at one point, I did, when you spawn in, one of the roguelike randomized elements is that your color palette is randomized. And so my queen, her dress was almost the exact same color as the horse. And so it looked like I was some kind of crazy double-headed Hydra centaur beast. There's arguably the most tedious part of the game is having to put up with the stamina bar of the horse, which I guess gets better. I'm 13 hours in, doesn't feel any better, I can tell you that.
13 hours in and you're in the second island?
I'm on the third island.
Okay, island.
I'll have you know.
I was going to say,
because,
like, yeah, usually...
Now I would have been there 2 hours earlier if it hadn't been for the game. As we're learning, you know, as we were just discussing, that, you know, usually there's a lot of roguelikes where the gameplay loop, the death loop is very fast. And so you learn a lesson, you die because you didn't know something, you learn that lesson, and you take that into the next run. It's like very rapid, very cool game. You're learning these lessons very, very fast. But here I am, like 8 hours in or so, and I had not yet learned the lesson of how to properly understand how much health a wall had left. And this wall looked like it was at least 70% full. Sure, it's missing a couple of blocks off the top. Well, it turns out it was at about 99% damage because moments later it broke down and I was killed.
Now
I already had
this...
the boat in the dock. I could have left at any time. I had beat the level and I had to do it again.
The like the tier one stone wall where it kind of like breaks away from like being like chipped away off of one side of it.
Oh, this is the primo tier two Stonewall. Let me tell you, nice and tall, very impressive.
He
ain't no
chum. He got a preem wall.
And I was so mad about it that I took a series of screenshots my next run to like monitor and try to better understand it. Let it be known, once that large tall wall loses three bricks, it's almost done. Don't be fooled, folks.
I'll just say for the record, builders repair walls. And they
and
do
sometimes
every day.
They walk past the wall and get killed.
So here's the thing.
Inexplicably.
So
they're really
like,
just that
this is
dedicated
like what you learn like
craft.
In hour one or two, or you're supposed to anyways, is like when you set a worker to do something, they will run regardless of the time of day out to do that thing. And if you send them to like do something like chop a tree down during night, they'll run past it and they'll try and chop the tree down.
No, absolutely not. We are not
100% of the time. It is the player's fault for having the builders killed.
It is. I assure you, sir, this was not the case.
I can assure you
I've witnessed these builders get killed for no reason. I've seen them run out into the wall and then come back.
They try and maintain an equal distance. So the spread of your realm is like how far they will stand naturally, and they will balance. They will space themselves out so they're at equal intervals. When you have a request, then what happens is the nearest one goes to meet that request, and the rest of them shift such that they're equal distance. And so this is like the pattern that you're supposed to observe. And how are you supposed to observe this?
I missed a lot.
Is it by running back and forth over and over and over again?
Well, you ask yourself the question, what's happening here? You observe, and then you make a hypothesis. And it's a very scientific sort of study learning sort of game.
Will, we tried. I was timing the amount of time that it took for my horse to get its breath back. I was counting the number of horse snorts. We all were looking at the little mounds of dirt and the rabbits running around and thinking, huh, now if I build here, is that going to stop spawning rabbits, or is that totally unrelated? I feel like we all gave it the old college try and really tried to observe this game, and we could not fully grasp it.
Sadly. I have a question. Will, how many times have you lost?
A lot. Not as much as you guys, it sounds like, but you
know. No. I mean, I'm not, this is a genuine question of like, how often, like per island, do you think you lost? Because I feel like my biggest problem with it was that I was losing did not feel fun. It felt like a punishment. And so I was scared to do things that I was unsure if it might cause me to lose.
How long were your games? Because I'll tell you what, like if you die, like you should be off an island under 30 minutes every single time. Like if you're
how many days did you normally? I lost on day 25.
You should be off the island on before day 25 in general. And yeah. And day 32 is like, or depending on which island you're on, is when like winter sets in. And so
yeah, I was getting close, but I just kept my economy kept getting beat down, and I was just like barely surviving. And I was like, if I don't put money into this right now, I will lose. And I was never able to get the, 40 coins it takes to build the boat.
It takes 60 coins, except we're on the first island where it takes, I think it's 31, because they give you a head start.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So, many coin.
Or 60, I should say, 60 times of holding it down. I think it's actually 120. So, 100, yeah. So
Lots of coins.
It's about 3 bags of gold worth.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have been able to get off that island. I would have died for sure.
I do think that, like, the mechanics in a particular island run of this game are interesting. And I think they're well done for what they're going for. And I think this also just might be, again, I dug my own grave without looking at the wiki, if you're supposed to do that in the first place. But I feel like this is a classic case of like, the game would be twice as good if it was like half as long or twice as fast, where like just the amount of, okay. So Will, grade my strategy here where, land on an island. I'm like, okay, we'll get, we'll recruit like the decrepit forest freaks to come join my cause by throwing coins at them, as you do in any good feudal society.
Is this a new run where you're not bringing in any extra gold or knights or archers from the old?
I mean, at this point, with how far I've gotten through the game, it may as well be.
I'll say that. To be clear, we've collectively had maybe 3 or 4 runs where we are starting with existing people and existing money.
I lost yesterday on a run where I started on the second island, and got, that was how I got to 25. And then today, when I was right before I started playing, I started on the first island and then beat that, crushed it, super easy. Went to the second island. Holy shit! Starting with four archers and a bag full of gold is like
big difference.
A different difficulty, which
huge.
I hate. I really, really don't like that because it's not fun enough to play the first island. I don't want to have to, if I lose this second island, I don't want to have to go back and play the first island again. I won't call it boring, but it's not interesting. And it still takes like half an hour. It's like, okay, cool. I'm going to grind for half an hour. It's like the difference between StarCraft 1 and StarCraft 2, where they got rid, in StarCraft 2, they got rid of the like first 8 minutes where you're just watching your four SCVs mine. It's like, hey, guess what? That's not fun. That's
yeah,
just
but
like boring as shit. And you're like,
scouting,
oh no, now
you're scouting the map, you're looking for the enemies, you're making sure to two racks bunker rush the enemy as fast as you possibly can. And then you lift off your command center and float to the edge of the map to grief them for the whole rest of the game
and
because
right.
a goblin attacked you.
You land it next to their base and you turn it into a planetary fortress. Classic strat. But yeah, your point, great point, Colin. They realized in StarCraft 2, like, hey, the first segment is not engaging. It's not interesting. And you shouldn't have to do it over and over again. Quick point of clarification. I don't know if this is very useful or, most of my losses were me, voluntarily restarting the run. Cause I was like, all right, well, this isn't sustainable. This isn't good. Or like I spent too much time running around looking for treasure at the beginning before actually building. Let me restart. Like actually dying, actually, which the death mechanics took me a while to get a grasp on, hours to get a grasp on, actually having zero gold, getting hit by a goblin, ghoulie guy who are called greed. I'm just learning for the first time. I'm just hearing this now. I'm just learning this for the first time. And then having the crown stolen and that being my loss, that only happened like, I don't know, maybe five or six times, as opposed to the several dozen voluntary restarts. But Scott, I want to get back to this review of your tactics, your strategy.
Yeah. So
we'll
like,
review this strat.
Right. So I'm landing on a new island.
Please.
And I'm like, okay, I vaguely know what I'm supposed to be doing now. I will do like a 2-to-1 ratio of archers to hammer builder guys and like try to like shore up defenses like as close as I can to the main campsite slash like Kingdom Hall thing. Build up some good defenses there and then kind of like inchworm my way out. And as I'm saying this, I'm realizing, oh, actually, this is a terrible strategy.
Yep. See, that's the fun of it, right? You're supposed to realize because, yeah, I was going to say this is already off the rails what you're talking about, but go ahead.
And then so what I had been doing was expanding in kind of both directions while like during the daytime, I would like run my fat geriatric horse off to one side, find it like and kind of like map out like where everything is and be like, OK, the trader is over here. He's like three screens away. Then I have like an archer shrine. Then I have the homeless encampment and then I have the goblin gate. And then there's the dock on that side. And on the other side, there's like other stuff of similar kind of ideas. And so my idea was like, okay, well, I'll shore up defenses like right around the main Kingdom Hall, kind of like build up stuff there and like clear out forests like on both sides so I can get my archers out to start getting that bunny economy going, baby. And then using that gold to expand out towards the ship, whichever side it's on, building up some defenses near there and start the shipbuilding process while on the non-ship side of the map, building up like a big like defensive back end to it, making sure I don't get attacked from that side. And I felt like the times where I'm like, okay, let's try this economic strategy, felt like it took a long time to set up. And I was either like soft locking myself economy wise and couldn't really figure out like, well, how am I supposed to get more money to do this? Or like, where the hell are all my people? And why is everyone running so slow when there's goblins chasing them? Like how is that strategy? Like what would be better than that? There has to like, it's obviously bad, but why is it bad?
In the first night, there is exactly one greed that comes from each side. On the second night, there are two greeds that come from each side. This is a pattern that you can see pretty, it's on multiple restarts pretty clearly. And what that means is that you're essentially invincible. Like if you do build anything more than just like a basic wall in the beginning, a basic wall and one archer will last you for a while. And in fact, it'll last you for long enough. Like you said, it's good to map it all out. What I did is I had a notepad open. And I like it just like a text document. And I just say, hey, here's my base. This is where the boat is. And then I go out and say, okay, here's the camp. Here's the portal. And I just write it all out. And then eventually I had it all written out. I knew which side the dock was on. And then basically your economy then is just a matter of cutting all the, like you're getting coins as you're going out. And so you're like, you get, depending on which map you're on. And so you use that to essentially get peasants as much as possible. The camps, like being at the camps and maximizing peasants is absolutely critical for an economy. Like if you're not getting like if there's two sitting there, that means that there's idle time. If there's one, that means it's still regenerating. So as soon as you see two, you know you fucked up.
Quick pause. Did anyone have any idea that that's what was happening with the spawning of peasants?
Yes.
I did not know.
I had no
My
idea.
Problem with it wasn't like figuring out how often they spawn. It was that it took almost the entire day to run to the peasant farm that's on the other side of the portal. And then I give a gold to the peasants, and then they run for an entire day. They get eaten by the ghouls, and so I have to, their gold stolen or whatever. So then I have to run again to re-give them gold so that they continue running to my walls.
And so Colin, what lesson did you learn as a result of that, if any?
That I probably should have restarted earlier so I got a better map.
Well, I learned that I should time my trips down to the corner store to pick up new peasants. I should time those right after an attack wave has happened. But even then, I had no concept of like, when will another attack happen? I don't know.
So when the moon gets to the top, the middle, that's the midnight. That is exactly when they arrive at your gate, no matter where it is. So they actually spawn at their spawners and their times, such as they run in and they hit your fence or your wall at exactly midnight on both sides.
Well, so the actual, because part of the RNG, part of the roguelike elements of this game is that the actual location of these enemy spawn points and the location of these different resources and everything that we're discussing is random. Had no idea that it was midnight is when they hit. I thought at first, well, surely they only attack at night. Surely they only start spawning at night in like classic, I don't know, last spell / just sort of general fantasy stuff. Very interesting. Well, that's good to know.
Except for, of course, the retaliation wave, but that's a different... You guys didn't kill portals, so that's a different...
I killed a couple portals, for the record. I killed two whole portals.
I didn't even know you could kill the portals.
No, you're goofing, right?
You know how I found out you can kill portals? Is that, well, first of all, I was like, huh, I wonder why my flag has a 4-coin thing now. I wonder what it does. Better find out.
Oh.
And then all of my archers and my things left the wall and were immediately slaughtered.
So you learned not to send them out right before intercepted. Yeah. You learned that you have to send them out right after the wave is done.
That is learning the absolute hard way.
Yeah,
you've just spent 2 hours on that run.
Yeah,
you guys are not spending 2 hours on a run. I don't understand how that's possible, because like you should be off the island in 20-25 minutes.
Well, I have 6.4 hours in this game, and I have done 5 runs, so I am averaging at least an hour per run. I'm pretty sure. How many minutes per day is it?
4 minutes per day. You guys haven't timed that out. It's three in the morning hours. That's the one you want to time.
It doesn't matter. Exactly. I just need it for the calculation.
I should have timed that instead of the horse.
So I spent 100 minutes in my run last night to lose.
Skill issue.
That's
pretty rough.
So that felt very, very bad. I felt like I was behind the curve for most of the time, and it should have put me out of my misery. I should have lost. Like, that would have been a better outcome, as if I felt like I was disincentivized from taking risks, because at this point I was like, well, I've already come so far. I'm going to be really frustrated if I lose. And so I'm like, all right, if I expand my walls out, does that mean the bunnies don't spawn anymore? I'm not sure I'm willing to find out right now, because I have like a marginally sustainable economy.
Great example.
It felt hard to experiment without the risk of like losing, and that's fine. I mean, maybe I should have just experimented faster and lost faster. Maybe that's the key to having fun in the
And
game.
I think the crucial like hampering part of that is like you when you restart at like that setup phase to get back to like I don't know day 5 or 7 or 10 or something on a like restarted run, just takes what like we just said what like 5 minutes 5 minutes per day. Like day 7 is like 30 minutes,
four
right?
minutes per day.
Okay.
So you're able to get off an island in 6 days, Will?
Well, if you're Will, and it's not 6 days, because 6 days is 12 minutes.
You just said it was 4 minutes per day.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said, yeah. So I'm
so
able to
get... your 25 minutes run is 6 or 7 days. So that's 25 or 24 or 28 minutes.
On the first island, you can definitely do it.
Okay, so I just played that first island again, and it took me 10 and a half days to get off.
So
am I
slower,
supposed
you know?
To... In a, sure. But like, I'm not as good. I'm still learning the game. I haven't like optimized everything. In order to have a good start on the second island, I'm supposed to play for between 25 and 40 minutes just to basically start the next more interesting island.
To get a
Like
good
the first
snowball
island
going.
did not seem very difficult to me. It felt like it was mostly just running back and forth.
You should be able to start on any island with no added bonuses and win.
Yeah, if you know
on,
what you're doing,
you yeah, exactly. Can, and that's what I ultimately did, but it's miserable.
It's much harder, and it means that there's very little room to like make mistakes. Like, oh, I tried this out and it maybe wasn't perfectly optimal in the exact situation where I was. Like, oh, the lesson I learned was getting knights is bad.
I remember,
so should I not
yeah.
like oh, the second I got a knight, it ate up my resources and I died. Is that a lesson I should have learned?
Just sounds like I'm talking to a bunch of people here that have no curiosity whatsoever. It's just like, I got hurt and I'll never look at that ever again.
Will, we're so curious. We wanted to know more about these rabbits. We want to know how they live, where they live. We want to be pals with them. We want to go over to their house. We want to drink some tea with them. We wanted to, you know, we were invested. But more mostly, you know, just we could get to that gold that they were providing.
I'm curious to know, like, if from
where's
Will's
the gold
perspective,
come from?
Like, where, like,
well, it's just a, it's, you know, it's an abstraction, right, of wealth, like, which I appreciate in this game. There's not a bajillion different resources that I got to keep track of. It's not like Against the Storm where it's like, all right, how much jerky equals a clay brick, you know, like all that crap. It's just like, it's gold. Everything's gold. It's just wealth. Everything drops wealth. Everything costs wealth. I appreciate that.
Will, what was your biggest come from behind victory in this game?
Or
were you always so ahead that it never mattered?
No, I had times where like the retribution wave was getting over my fence. Like the knights, they will run back as they start breaching a wall, and so they were running back and running back, and my boat was like, you know, lurching towards the finish, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my god, and like, and then they were like, basically they overwhelmed all my defenses. I'm running back. And they're chasing right behind me, and I'm getting there with just enough gold to get onto the ship, and that's kind of like the closest sort of call that you can have.
That
and
sounds
that's what I
pretty
had.
Good. I gotta
so
say,
can
pretty
they,
good, pretty
can
good.
They blow up your town center?
No, they just run past it.
Okay.
What?
They
I
run
just
past and they start digging walls on the other side. And what's funny
what
is that
in
all
the
your
world?
Archers and shit are oriented to shoot the other way, and so it's like they can't actually, like, your catapult can't shoot backwards, and like it's a on your ballistas later that you'll get those, they can't shoot backwards. So it's
came out surely. Surely we all assumed. Surely even you will assumed. Well, I better not let anybody get to my town center because that is it is written.
Well, yeah, sure,
in
you want
stone.
That.
It
and
is
then
written.
And then it happens that they get through and you just keep playing and you're like, and actually I've had a time where they went through, they cleared all my middle, all
yeah.
everything out except for my very literally my last wall where my knights on the other end of the map killed
wow.
the and then I went wait I sprinted back and I was able to set up a wall just right on the other side of one, reinforce it, and then rebuild and get out of there. And so like there's all kinds of opportunity for you to like, because it costs 4 coins to set up a tier 4 or the highest quality wall to rebuild it. And so like getting restarted again isn't that hard as long as you have the ability to do that.
I'm learning new mechanics like every couple of minutes. This is great. Yes, that sounds all very epic and good, and there definitely were good moments in my playthrough. Famously, I said at the end of Island 1 in our Discord, I said, hey, this game's pretty fun. And unfortunately, I had less of a fun time with Island 2. But real quick, I just I don't know if this is much of a point to be made, but like it's been written in stone in game rules, in RTS history. Like, it's been written not just in stone, in blood, that if the enemy gets to your base, it's game over. And I don't know, I'm just gobsmacked that doesn't matter.
In this game, the base is you. You are the base.
This game is very much about the crown.
That's a great point.
Yeah. If they get you, you are dead no matter what. Like, I learned that pretty quick, like, early on. It was like, huh. Like, I wonder what happens if they don't, I don't have any money, and can they still go, oh god, they got my gold, they got my crown. My horse is too fat and too slow.
Indeed. The way the health system works is that your health is gold. Everything's gold.
Knight's health is gold, apparently.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun mechanic. I feel like we're getting very much bogged down in like the minutiae of every nitty gritty little mechanic. But the overall theme just for me is that there is a lot happening in this game, a lot of interesting stuff. And I don't want the game to necessarily hold my hand, but there's just constantly at every turn, I was being just ambushed by things I didn't understand. And that doesn't feel great. The tutorial was so promising, and then it just dispenses with it. It just thinks that, you know, the game is too subtle, in my opinion, for its own good.
I feel like if it were just me, Scott, and Andrew, we'd be having a very different conversation, and we'd probably be a lot more positive about the game. Like, there are a lot of the things in this game that I like. It's mostly the reason that we're having this type of discussion is because Will loved it, and we're all like, great. Huh,
true.
There must be something here that I'm missing because I only liked it and didn't love it.
I got nearly every, I think I left the last two because they were trivial, and I was like, yeah, I already had, once you have the take Scott's analogy, or like, you know, reference to StarCraft, once you know the build order, then you can just reproduce a winning game every single time without issue. Mm-hmm. And so learning that build order is what this game is, like learning. And so that's, and later, of course, there are other unlocks to keep you like, you know, keep it fresh. There are, you know, the hermits that you're getting. There's the mounts that you're getting, because you guys all have the really shitty starter horse, but eventually.
No, I had the white horse.
Yeah, the white horse is the one that runs a lot longer. There's a bear, so you can actually like go out and kill like deer and bunnies. And like, that is how you jumpstart an economy. You suddenly feel incredible after you get the bear, and then you get the unicorn. You're like, holy shit, every 15 seconds I shit out 3 coins. And then you realize that you can really accelerate the pace at which you're able to get set up, especially if you start on a new island with 3 knights and with, you know, 12, 14, 16 archers and a bunch of builders, and you're just like, wow, and I can just like poop out money too. And suddenly your base is like fully built up in a really short period of time. This is how you're able to get off the islands quickly and just kind of like hop through them really, really fast. But it is true that it is, the first one's kind of a drag when you're getting set up, but it's one where if you learn the build order, you're still able to get out quick.
So do you have to go in order?
No, the only rule is that you can't do the same island twice in a row.
Okay. So if you were trying to beat Island 6.
I never did that, by the way. That was still
Skull Island
achievement. Yeah, that wasn't an achievement associated with
Skull Island?
Yeah, there is Skull Island.
Wait, okay, so Island 6 is very, very difficult?
Yeah, it's like the bonus one that it's kind of like, it's a challenge island, essentially.
Island 5 was the last of the normal islands. So yeah. Island 5, I guess. If you were going to try and beat Island 5 right now, what would do Island 1, then Island 2, then Island 5, or?
I would do Island 2, and then I go to 5.
Okay.
Because 2 is the ones you can get in and out the fastest, and you're able to get a new mount. But if I didn't get a unicorn, and I really wanted to have like a really, you know, clean playthrough, and I didn't have the hermit as
a backpack,
exactly. Then I'd do 2, and then I 3, and then 4 until I got the right setup of the gear, and then I go there. And that is that's actually my critical complaint, is that if I really want to have a unicorn and the ballista whatever hermit, then I have to like just keep going to them and like, oh, I found a bear on this one, but it's not the one I wanted. Or like, oh, it's just like the fast horse. And it's just like, now I got to do a whole another island because.
Could you do 2, then 3, then 2, then 3, then 2, then 5? Like, can you go back and forth between.
I think you can. I don't recall.
I mean,
I just remember the rule is you can't do the same one twice. So I imagine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the big things this game does have going for it is that it is very, very aesthetically pleasing. So that I feel like that
extremely.
Is the only thing that would that like I found a lot of it to be just a bit tedious. But every once in a while, you're just like, the seasons are changing. And now it's fall, and ooh, that's very pretty. And like all the reflections, and like watching the trees slowly fade away as you've cut them, and like stuff appear in the background is great. The aesthetics of this game are great.
This game does feel very cozy also on the Steam Deck, where you're just kind of like lazily sitting on the couch. You're like, not really, you know, you're like half a bowl in already, as I'm told. And you know, you're going back and
a
forth.
A bowl of
like,
cereal?
Yeah,
I was gonna say, what, Scott's saying this? Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
And you know, it's like a very like zen kind of experience. Like, okay, I'm just gonna go over here, then I'm gonna go over here, I'm gonna drop a coin here, kind of a deal. And you know, you just have your feet up on the couch, cat in your lap, kind of a scenario. And like, yeah, like it's an enjoyable way to kind of, you know, look at stuff and pass some time. Like, I feel bad that I never got into like the economic like light bulb moment that and like this broader like metagame progression strategy that like I don't know like just it, like the systems just like felt frictiony to me in a way that was like, well, if I have to restart this, then I gotta build more SCVs, and then I don't have to build too many SCVs because then like I won't have enough money to go and do this thing, and then I'm gonna run out of my minerals, and you require more minerals in order to build up your defenses, and you need more minerals to build more guys, and I do appreciate the depth that there is here. I just need like a tiny bit more of handholding of you know how like in Noita, like another game that famously has like basically no instruction to it, which is like bafflingly complicated. But like every so often, like stop, like text will pop up on the screen of like, it feels humid in here or something like that. Nary a thing like that in my experience, at least, to be found here to kind of guide my hand of like if like every 5 days or like on the when the moon was rising red, I had no clue what that meant. Like I figured
it's
it was something
obviously
bad.
A blood moon.
Yeah, like but
obviously
like,
a blood moon, and that means more
bad.
Enemies.
It's bad. I mean, have you not played Morrowind Blood Moon or 7 Days to Die or not?
Or what a terrible night to have a curse, Castlevania 2.
Yeah. Blood Moon is bad. More zombies come and try and beat up your
base. I believe it.
But if there was like text on there saying like the Blood Moon has risen, you know, the greed grows stronger or something like that, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, or even just Blood Moon. Honestly, I was looking right past the color. I was just like, oh, cool. There's like some neat, there's different lighting effects. Neat.
Like, right, and there are different lighting effects.
Look, hey, yeah, here's some example stuff. The blood moon
in
rises.
Pain here.
All right,
just
for
like
example.
The moon looks really good though.
You guys are closing your eyes and like not your ears, and you're like complaining that all you see is darkness. That's what I hear right now, because the game gives you several signals that it's a blood moon. Like the sound changes every time. There's a spooky ambiance. There's obviously the red. It happens every 5 to 6 days. So if you're on the fifth day and it doesn't happen, you know it's going to happen on the sixth day. It's just
And
how do you find
cool.
this out? Well, you map it out. You take some notes. You use your brain.
Let's take some note. Use my brain. How dare you?
So, okay.
Suggest that I do that or a notepad. For
what
that
so,
matter.
Okay.
So
here's,
yeah,
here's
sure.
what this game feels like an idle game or a cozy game, but it is not.
Mm-hmm.
It is a game. Right. It is a chess puzzle game in disguise. It like, I think that's what, like the first probably 3-4 hours I played this game, I did not try to figure it out that hard, because it was like, oh, I'm just running back and forth and I'm doing stuff. On the first island, it's pretty easy. You don't need to like think that hard. I was reading the wiki, and on the first island, the blood moon is easier than normal moons. So I did not learn the lesson that you need to be more on guard when the moon turns red. And then suddenly, like, Second Island, it's not a cozy game anymore. You have to actually have, like, paid attention to stuff. My cozy running simulator went away.
It went away and wait. And to be clear, you know, I'm not asking for the game to pause and to go into a cinematic where one of the villagers says, "My lord, the blood moon is on the rise. Why, I reckon the monsters will, they'll have a fury in them like we've never seen before." Like, just, hey, the blood moon's here. Like, blood moon, some text. Or, hey, you've got a new building. Hey, these knights, they're probably going to want to be paid, right? like in the tutorial, there's a little bit of text. It's just a teeny little bit. And I'm asking for some crumbs is all.
The first time I upgraded my main town hall, like, center building to the point where I was like, okay, like, yeah, this is my main building. Clearly I need to upgrade this for some reason, but I don't know what yet, but I'll just keep upgrading it. And then there was this pompous feathered hat fellow walking around, strutting his stuff around. And I'm just like, what on earth is this guy doing here? Like, this was almost immediately after I had cut down the trees by the trader camp also. So I didn't make the connection that this was a separate entity. I thought this was just like an upgraded trader. And I was like, okay, like, there's no coin prompt above him. So, like, does he just wander around and just, like, give me money? But, like, I never, until Will had told me that I have to proactively drop money down on the ground in front of him for him to
pick
up.
He's a stock trader.
Yeah, like, I had no clue. I thought he was just some, like, some fat dude rolling around town that was just like, am I supposed to protect this guy? Is he important for some reason? Is this, like, the, I don't know, like, the corrupt mayor of the town that, like, is just, like, eating all the food when no one's looking? Like, I had no concept or context for what this little dude was there for. Until Will was like, you should drop a coin next to him. And then, like, he comes back a couple days later with some more coins. I'm like, okay, got it. He's an investment engine. But there was nothing to tell me that, like, there was any reason for me to interact with them whatsoever. Because I'm running around and I'm, like, frantically trying to keep my walls in shape. I'm, like, trying to, like, build up my builder supply so that I can build the walls and repair the walls. But they're always, like, running too slow, and it feels like I'm spinning a lot of plates to stop and try to, like, puzzle out what this extra little super subtle thing is that turns out to be, like, maybe not a crucial game mechanic, but, like, an interesting one that I wish I knew what it did before.
Scott, easy fix. First time you spawn in, that guy just says, "The banker has arrived." Done. I know who he is. I have some general idea of what he does. I know his name. I know he's not, you know, he's not one of the monsters. He's not the robber from Settlers of Catan. And I know that, hey, he probably wants some money. The first time I freed one of the dogs, I ran past that dog probably a dozen times because I thought, I need to get my workers out here to free that, to help that poor dog that has a tree that fell on it. Oh no, you got to throw a coin at him. It's like, all right, well, I probably should have known that, because, you know, that's how you interact with the banker. That's how you interact with the trader. That's how you interact with the dirt people that you want to. Well, I mean, and you also interact with things by way of your people, to be clear, your workers. Can anyone explain to me, you know, actually, this is boring. Me just saying, like, how's this about?
The dog barks in the direction of the blood moon. The blood moon only has the horde from one side. It's like twice as big as usual. And so if you are paying attention, the dog will start barking that way. So if you're in the middle of your kingdom, you'll know which side to run to.
Did you figure that out on your own, or did you read that in the wiki?
That's one from the wiki, because tell you what, that was not something that was super obvious to me.
Yeah.
Well, that could sum up my opinion, like, of most of the mechanics of this game.
So is this game interesting to observe, or is it interesting to just go read the wiki and then understand how it works?
You have a need. You realize, what is this thing doing? You try and figure it out. You fail, perhaps. And then that curiosity is supposed to motivate you to go and read about, like, oh that's
how this works. That's not at all how I... The curiosity It feels like I have taken apart the Rubik's Cube and put it back together in the right spot. I am cheating when I look at the
Does
wiki.
that make you, it doesn't make you an automatically a winner though. I mean, it's still a hard game. Like, even if you know all the rules, you still have to execute.
It makes me
I
not
don't
want to
know.
play the game though, because it's like, well, I'm not.
You've spoiled the surprise.
I've spoiled the surprise and like, I
And
mean,
the
I guess a
challenge.
better game for this would be like Blueprints. Be like, if you just go read what the puzzle solutions are in Blueprints, like you're not playing the game. And I feel like this game is trying to understand it without
It's
just from context
no,
clues.
this game is trying to discover what the right build order is. Understanding the mechanics of a specific element like the dog is not how to create the build order you need to win.
Yeah, but most of the signals of this game are you should be able to figure it out from context clues. The fact that there's no text and there's no wiki makes me, the game is suggesting to me that I shouldn't have to have them.
One of the titans of the rogue genre, The Binding of Isaac, maybe one of the most popular of the genre itself, very famous for its very Spartan descriptions of things. Like you pick up like a cat's head and it's like you picked up Guppy's head, and like it doesn't tell you at all what Guppy's head does. But you at least have like maybe some kind of semblance of like, okay, well, Guppy was like the cat, and like it now, like this thing that I'm doing is like slightly different. Oh, okay, I can kind of figure out like what this item that I picked up does pretty quickly. But in this game, like I again, like upgrading the central thing, and I unlocked the farmer role to recruit. Or like the little farmer building. Like, oh, I can go and like get farmers. And I had absolutely no idea how farming in this game worked. Where like there's like the little trickling streams where I thought like, are those like the same things as like the barricades, and like build it up one level and it like doesn't do anything. Like, okay, well, it's not an idle game, so I have to like do something. There's something more here to put coins into. Run my geriatric horse 2 days back across the other side of the map. All right, back here again. Let's dump some more coins in. Bloop, 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 bloop. It upgrades to a second level. Okay, finally, my slow builder runs over there and upgrades it. It's finally like this water wheel spinning thing. Okay, now what? It took me an embarrassingly long amount of time that I, and again, like, I know that, like, you know, if any Kingdom fans are still listening at this point and have not just one starred the program on Spotify and closed it immediately,
Yeah.
they'll realize that like, oh, like, well, clearly you had to recruit a farmer if after building the farm, and it's so obvious, like how could you not have known this? But from my perspective of like intentionally trying not to spoil myself with the wiki and have that open on my phone while playing on the Steam Deck or something, like it felt like bafflingly obtuse to me, where it was like, all right, this water wheel thing is spinning. What is it supposed to be doing? Like,
It's
there's.
interesting to me that you're t saying, oh, you put money into that. Oh, you saw that it grew and that you did all this stuff to make that infrastructure grow. But there was the dude sitting there in front of the scythe sign and he's got a little coin thing above his head. Did you ever think to put a coin in or like coins into him to see if what happens when someone grabs a scythe and like, oh, they turn into a like that's it, seeing that units turn into a farmer was something that I think most people do before actually discovering that what the farm mechanic is.
Well, I didn't know that like the little like water wheel spinning thing was just for like entertainment purposes, and that someone actually had to go out there and like reap the whirlwind and get the coins out of the field. Because like I'm just sitting there, I'm like I was sitting there with the horse next to the spinning water wheel. I'm like, where is my fucking coin? Like, give me my money. And it wasn't doing anything. So like, and then I go back. I'm like, okay, like the scythe guy. But like again, because I'm trying to like balance, I can appreciate the level of strategic decision making here. It feels like weird that I'm bouncing off of it, because it feels like I would be so into this from like a StarCraft perspective. Like, oh, you got to balance your economy, and you got to balance your defenses, and you got to balance your attack, and you got to balance your slow ass ship building to escape this wretched island. All interesting game mechanics, but it, for whatever reason, like It's like if you're building a building in StarCraft and it just sits there and doesn't do anything until some other unit runs up and does the thing for it, and you're just like, well, I had no idea that this was gonna build siege tanks until an SCV that I had no control over walked up and started actioning on it.
Well, that's why they're using very intuitive sort of dynamic. Like they're using a scythe as a symbol for a farmer.
Sure, but I mean, couldn't one argue? I mean, that a water wheel is sort of a somewhat universal symbol for farming, I guess. But energy, is there?
No, it's a mill. Everyone knows it's a mill. It's grinding grain. It's obviously a farm grain mill.
I to be clear, I figured out how to do farms relatively quickly. But I mean, it starts as a stream. Is that a stream I need to ford? Is that a stream I need to, build a wall on the top of or over? No, I guess I need to.
I mean,
it needs to be a farm.
I feel
zone.
Like I figured that out pretty quickly. Of
sure. But
you put
example.
3 gold into it, and then there's a pile of hay there, and you're like, well, maybe I should make it so that the farmer, the scythe man, goes to the hay thing, and maybe something will happen. And then it doesn't for a while, and he just kind of hangs out there, and you're like, I guess nothing is going on.
He is,
but eventually
there.
He does give you money.
Sure. Again, not everyone is going to be flummoxed by this one specific building, but there are so many flummox pitfalls in this game, I feel like. I, too, went in with sort of the challenge of not so much I'm going to not read the wiki at all. But for me, it was more about the challenge. I'm not going to read any of Will's elite strats that he's posting with spoiler tags in the Discord. I want to try to crack this code and overcome this challenge myself. And well, obviously I failed to do that in most occasions. This game I thought was brand new. And then I learned it was a 2010 game. Is that right? 2010. And
no, well, this one is from 2016.
Sorry. So 2016. And I was really confused initially. But then I started to play it and I'm like, oh yeah, this is an indie game. it feels like it makes sense that it's based on off of a previous Flash game, because it feels a little artsy, a little fartsy. It feels they're not using text really intentionally. They're we want the localization and translation budget to be almost zero, because there are hardly any words in this game. This is an intentional choice. And I would be curious, this doesn't always matter, but we're talking about it so much. I would be curious about the game designer's intentions, whether they designed this game thinking, well, surely people are going to reference wikis, or surely people are going to talk to each other. Or if they designed it from the ground up with all of these context clues, expecting people to pick up on them slowly but surely.
I think probably a mix of both, depending on what kind of player you are.
Maybe. Hey,
I guess
something.
Oh,
what's that?
Maybe piggybacking off of your question, I think there really was appetite for this game at the time, because scrolling through notes, Kingdom New Lands by 2019 had been downloaded over 1.5 million times, and then by 2020 by 3.5 million times. So there was clearly a huge audience.
Very impressive
for this game. I don't know if it was entirely catapulted off of the Flash game project, but I can totally see that, maybe if the dev's intentions weren't necessarily yeah, I'm going to build this Souls-like level of inscrutability that you're going to have to just butt your head up against constantly in order to figure out, oh yes, this is how this totally arbitrary system works. This is something that has really resonated with a lot of people, just not three of them on this particular podcast for whatever reason.
The worst part is it has resonated with me. I feel I'm supposed to like this game. Even as I'm playing it and not having fun, I'm like, this game has all the things that I say that I want, and I feel like I should be having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I am unsure if, I was playing a run 1 minute before we started this podcast, and okay, I'm doing a lot better on that. I might have fun. If I go back to playing it after we're done recording, I might have a grand old time.
Now that you know how all the systems work and everything.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, now that I finally figured some of this stuff out, like, it might be just like, oh, I just didn't understand the bunny mechanic. And like, now that I understand how the economy works, like, I get it. And it is just like a 2D linear StarCraft tower defense game. And like, that is my jam. And like, I often say that I don't care about aesthetics until they get to a certain point. And this game has obviously gotten to that certain point where like every once in a while you stop and you're like, this is beautiful. I am actually kind of surprised that it came out of a Flash game. Like,
And I just looked, the Flash game has the reflection.
It's a fucking good Flash, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff. What a glorious reflection it is. Because of course, in the foreground, the entire time you're playing the game is a body of water, and so you're seeing everything reflected back up. And what a cutesy, fun aesthetic it is. It's yeah, very enjoyable to look at. And like, when in the first island, when I was like in the late game of the first island, and I was like in the flow state of going out, recruiting dirt people, coming back, making sure that my walls are, you know, looking okay, upgrading them, possibly going and collecting money, going over and, you know, tapping my hand, going, all right, hey, you hunters with the bows, where's my money? Where's my cash? All right, come on, hand it over. Like, that was, it felt pretty good. It felt pretty fun. There is a lot to like. And if I'd just gone in with the wiki open, I think I probably would have enjoyed my time with a lot more of it. And yeah.
So,
and
he,
about
so
the,
he,
yes.
You know what this game needs? It needs Deckard Cain. It needs an old man in your village that you can give a coin and he'll tell you tool tips.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, right, sure. And you have to spend resources on it to get.
Yeah, honestly, I think that would make this game better. Be like, flip a coin to Deckard Cain.
Right.
He's like, ah, stay a while. Listen to me
you
tell
know.
You how rabbits work.
Yeah. Let me tell you about how those rabbits
work. It should
probably
be a little bit more esoteric. Like, I mean, like, I can see.
Oh, sure.
You know, I really like the way it is. Just as a point of, I think it's beautifully done. And I think that this is one of those games where, when you think about the ERC chart, which is, you know, obviously the expand, reduce, raise, and cancel. What you want is a game that effectively applies that to an existing sort of framework. And so in this game, they chose to, or as E is eliminate, I think. I don't know, I'm mixing it all up. But you want to eliminate the complexity of all of these different interfaces. There's only three buttons, right? And like, I think that they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see how much they can do with you're literally playing a 1D line game.
And
you
so and go. So
with three inputs. Yeah, no, it's,
and doing that with
it's admirable.
And doing that with like the tutorial about the information, I think that is a wise decision for this type of game. But in order to accommodate the audience that needs to be spoon-fed,
smoother audience,
there
brain.
May be like the like a little toggle which says I'm an idiot, and you toggle that on, and then suddenly you'll get like little hints about like, hey, the sound just changed, should I be paying attention to anything? And then like just a little hint, you know, a text like, hey, is it all coming from both sides or just one side? Interesting. It looks like, you know, just pay attention to like this sort of a thing instead of like telling you exactly how it works. Because, I mean, this game is discovery. A lot of it is discovery and of not just the build order, but the mechanics. And so I think that for me is fun. Maybe you guys just don't like discovery. That's what I'm hearing.
Maybe
you read the wiki.
you get what is
he
the,
discovered what? The wiki.
You have curiosity and you have that curiosity solved. And you can either do that slow way, which I did for many mechanics, understanding things about the gait of the horse and like the how the health works with the coins. These are all things that you understand naturally through, you know, testing it out. But some things are a little bit more esoteric, and then you try and figure it out. You can't, and then you solve that.
And then you give a
you
coin to Deckard Cain, or
you
turn on the easy button where it tells you how it works. Like, I feel like if you have to resort to looking at the wiki, the game has failed in some way.
Well, I think that's a terrible belief.
Well, I mean, I did a lot of wiki opening for Binding of Isaac and Enter the Gungeon and basically every single Souls game I've ever played. More or less just out of like, yeah, like I'll like butt my head up against this thing like two or three times and then I'll give up and use the wiki for it. I think the problem here is that the restart loop cycle is so long that Like, and again, like, I don't know, maybe I'll boot this up and then like 2 weeks from, maybe it just needed more time to bake and, or like bake for me. And like 2 weeks from now, I'll be playing this, like, oh my God, this is exactly as good as Will was saying it, where I got all my build orders down. I'm like cannon rushing all these noob goblins and like building up a carrier fleet, and I can't be stopped. I just can't be stopped. And I'll be listening back to this recording like 6 weeks from now and just being like, what on earth was I thinking at that time? But right now, for me in this very moment, it feels like a very slow loop of learning. And oh, so I guess like maybe also related to that. Will, you've played Kingdom Two Crowns, the sequel to this game, right?
Kingdom Come, Two Crowns, yeah. Or not
And
Kingdom
no,
Come.
Kingdom Come is
Deliver me
Kingdom
from
Come,
Two
Deliverance.
Crowns.
They all have kings. Right now I'm playing
Two Kings, Two Crowns.
That's
The King
another
is
thing.
Watching. There's
Googling
all
this
these
game
kings.
is difficult. I was trying to look up how to learn. I was trying to learn the. I'm like, fuck it. Like, tell me everything about the horse's sprint system. And like the first things that come up are like Kingdom Come Deliverance. Like, of course. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. So
Yeah.
you've played Two Crowns, which is the sequel.
Yeah, was there a follow-up question on
Yeah,
that?
well, so I guess like Kingdom Two Crowns, I think the conceit there is that it's supposed to be like a co-op multiplayer experience. Is that right? Or there's two kings, two crowns, king for a crown?
I can't recall, to be honest.
Crown for a king.
I did play through that game and I beat that one too, I believe.
Well, I
That
like
was like many, many years ago, though.
my oh,
Yeah.
underhanded tee up question to this was like, this game feels like, in reference to earlier, like, oh, this game would be so much better if it was faster. Like, if you just had like a second person on the other side of the map managing the other side, where I didn't have to run my fucking slow ass horse all the way across the map, like it would feel like a more I don't know, like I would have more agency of like, okay, I'm gonna like manage over here, and then all right, Colin, you manage the defenses over there. I'm getting like the giant stone catapult, like ready to annihilate this goblin spawner over here. Oh, you need some more resource. Okay, I'll come back over there and drop some coins for stuff. It feels like maybe Kingdom Two Crowns is that thing that I want this game to be.
Did you ever
But
make a portal, just out of curiosity? Are you aware of
did I make a no?
teleportation? Yeah, teleportation is a huge, huge thing in this game. If you have not teleported, then
What is this
that's
guy
on
talking
you.
about?
That's on you.
What kind of gobbledygook are you spewing? Teleporters?
After you beat a portal, you'll notice there's like these weird coin symbols, like little holes where you might put coins, and you hold it down, it builds a portal. And then you portal, and you could build the exit portal, and then suddenly you can go from the middle way out to the edge, and it's just like it's very important. It's very important.
Well, it's a good thing I tossed a coin to my Deckard, and he was able to tell me that.
That's the one where you just experiment, where you see the five coins, you're like, "What does this do?" And then
I didn't
it
have five
spawned
coins
more
at the time, and then I
goblins.
forgot to go back.
Wow. Well,
And then
you
I
know
died.
what? You guys are just something else, I guess. Just I don't know what to say here.
I
You
mean,
just like you got a
well,
slight amount of
look,
difficulty, and
look,
you all
I'll
went,
admit it.
"Oh,
I
I'm
can't do
TikTok
it.
brained." I get stuck in my, real for you page, just watching, short attention span, teeny tiny little videos. And I went and saw Eddington. It was actually, it wasn't a struggle. I was entertained the whole time. But it's a long movie, 2.5 hours long. And I'm aware that, I don't have the attention span, but I mean, I feel like I really made a lot of, I made the space for this the game, and I went into it with the mindset of, all right, let me pay attention and learn. And it didn't work out. And I think it's just a little too subtle.
Well, I want you to go play Crusader Kings 2, because this is the feeling you talking about. You wanting me to play and understand this game is every time I feel like when I try to convince you to play Europa Universalis or Crusader Kings, like it just takes too much work to understand the systems. Except for that one will suck you up like 100 hours.
Well, when I get when that's next in the queue, but that's just not next in my queue.
That's a
Next in
roguelike
the
game,
queue.
right?
Sure, yeah,
Sure,
it's
sure, sure.
like Rogue in the sense that it's a video game, so close enough.
Correct.
So I guess like, all right, we've talked a lot about this game. We've talked about a lot about the journey of going from island to island, which I'll stop to note that I thought it was very funny after beating one of the islands that, like, effectively the story that I get from this game is that, like, the rich get richer and then they flee whatever kind of cataclysm approaches and then go to their next island.
That's right. All the natives there too, right?
Yeah, which I thought was, like, very subtly funny. But at the end, so, Will, you're the only one of us that's gotten to said fifth island, the last one of the main island chain, I guess. Is there any payoff of beating that island? Like, what happens when you beat that one and sail off into the sunset? Is it just like, all right, you have done. Congrats, victory screen.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's just like, yeah, the ship, instead of like just stopping at the end of like the little area, it would just like keep going, and that was kind of the end of it, if I recall correctly. But then that unlocks the sixth island at the same time, so you could technically continue on from that point to the sixth island, where yeah, that's where the difficulty really ramps up.
And that's where the hidden commentary about neo-feudalism and the 1% running the world, and also all of our cataclysmic world events, really comes to a foray for mm-hmm. this game's plot yep. after Skull Island.
Right.
Well, at Skull Island, you start to wonder things like, well, if I have this the hermit that gives you the bakery, which makes it so you don't have to run out and actually capture the peasants will actually run to the middle of your town. And you wonder, like, well, that seems like really good. You get a very high population, and a high population's great. But then you start to balance that with, well, the ballistas actually shoot the big mean guys, and the big mean guys are fucking me up. And so the seventh one really challenges, like, the fine tuning of your build, so that you can really be like, oh, actually, I know this hermit with this mount is like the best possible thing you could do, and this is how you deploy it in order to get as far as you can. Because prior to that, it's like you can it's a lot looser. Like you can use any hermit you want. You can kind of, like, you know, there's not any real difficulty once you kind of get the basic build order right. But that sixth island really makes you do everything right. That's just a bunch of me blathering on about an island that you guys will never go to, so it doesn't really matter.
I'll get there by the end of today.
Yeah. Well, and hey, of course, we commend your tactical know-how, your strategic, your mastery of strategy. Of course.
Well, I am the very model of a modern major general. I have information, vegetable, animal, and mineral.
So, so again, yep. With coming back to the islands,
more really more text than in the entire game. What you just said, Will.
Talk to me about the unlockables, because I feel like there's an element that I'm missing about, like, there are things to unlock, which I'm guessing, like, this is what the signposts are for, or like the other, like, interactable things on the map. They unlock the thing, but is that like, so like okay, you've beaten your first island, congrats. You come to the second island with the statue of building, and you can now increase the durability of all the walls, as the wiki is telling me. But there's also the barking dog and superior horses. Like, are those permanent unlocks for future runs, or do they just, like, only show up for that specific island?
They're permanent unlocks, and they can appear on any island. And so once you have it, basically the RNG determines the exact layout of the island. And so if you have the archery statue unlocked and, like, all the other ones, it'll just randomly pick, you know, one to two, essentially. I think there's an amount per island. But the portals also follow a similar sort of structure, where it's like, yes, on the first island, there's only one portal on one side. The second island, there's one portal on one, two on the other. And then, so it's like, it's very procedural, but elements that you are unlockable are put into that whole landscape with the portals.
Thank you, Deckard.
Yeah, there you go. You're welcome.
Ah, well, that's interesting.
Is there music
let
in this
it be
game?
Known. Oh, there's music. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I think the music in this game is really good.
Oh yeah, music.
We've talked a lot about, like, the pixel art, but yeah, I think, like, when we were doing our music fest episode previously, I was like, okay, I'll end that episode with, like, one of the tracks from the Kingdom Newland soundtrack. And I was like, okay, I'll pick this one. This one seems pretty good. And then I was letting the soundtrack play. I'm like, oh no, this one's much better. And then after that one, I'm like, oh, but this one's really good too. I was having, like, a lot of really hard decision fatigue of which one to pick. It has, like, this very good, almost like melancholic tone to it, which feels like it fits the theme of, like, you're running away from these disasters that will follow you no matter where you go, kind of aspect. Yeah, I thought it was really well done.
I wouldn't know. I muted it so I could watch Star Trek on the side too. So
I mean, admittedly, I was playing this a lot again on the Steam Deck while watching Tour de France and like listening to the audio of that instead. But like, again, for this, like trying to figure out what music to play this episode out with, I was like, okay, I'll definitely go with this one that I didn't pick last time. And then going cycling through the soundtrack, I'm like, yeah, but this one's really good too. And yeah, it was a hard decision to land on just one, but yeah, I think the soundtrack done by, who is it? Amos Roddy, not even really that hard of a name to pronounce, who's done music for other games such as Some Distant Memory. Andrew, I think you've played a little bit of the FPS game Strafe. He did the music to that. I think he's contributed. I think he's contributed somewhat to the soundtrack to Minecraft.
Ooh.
But more importantly,
actually, that does make sense. It has that same, like, a little bit atmospheric vibe.
Mm-hmm. But more importantly, a better game than Minecraft. He's done the soundtrack to Ball X Pit, the breakout style roguelite advancing waves game that is I played the demo too a little bit, and I'm like, this is very silly, but he did the soundtrack to that too, so well a good resume, I would say.
Very impressive.
What the heck?
Yeah, well, hey, Will, you've been back, you know, after having been on sabbatical or what have you. Your grand return. You can choose. Would you like to go first or would you like to go last? Or you can go in whatever order you want.
I'm going to go with Scott's philosophy, and because I know what my rating is and it's the highest, I'm going to go last.
maybe I'll kick us off. We'll alternate. I'll kick us off. Kingdom New Lands for the podcast overall is lands at our new number 50th game. A nice good 50th number overall of the 76 games that we played. And on my personal rankings, it lands with a 6.9, just behind Dysomancer, just ahead of Lone Star. I feel like this game is like an enigma to me, where it has a lot of things that I should like about like its economy and strategic decision making. I think like the strategy in this game is very interesting. Maybe I just needed more time to gel with it and like spoil myself with all the stuff on the wiki. I feel like, I don't know, I bounce back and forth between liking the idea of the limitation of not having unit micro, and then me screaming at my Steam Deck of like, please, for the love of God, just chop down that damn tree so many times. I feel like the game is like frustratingly slow, but at the same time, like I'm just panicking of not having enough time to do stuff. And I don't know if that's just because like my strategy is bad and I should feel bad and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I feel like there's just maybe a little bit more of learnings that I have to do related to it. The goods for this game, I think the visuals and the sound design in this game, I think, are excellent. I think this game is really good with how it balances its simplicity and depth of strategy. It's definitely deceptively difficult after the first island. And yeah, I think the idea of playing this co-op with a second person feels interesting. I would be interested to explore that. Maybe at a later date. Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, everybody. So I was saying earlier about, oh golly, I couldn't figure out this game. I think it's just so inscrutable. Well, thousands of players did figure it out. So, I guess that makes me maybe look a little bit silly. There is a game that I love. In fact, it's my number one game, Enter the Gungeon, that I often play with the wiki open. And, that is not necessary, but it's for a different reason. It's because there are mechanics, there are synergies, there are interactions going on behind the scenes that I'm not quite comprehending. And in order for me to maximize my enjoyment of the game, I want to understand, hey, it says I got a synergy between these two items. What does that actually mean? I want to make sure that I'm exploring that part of the gameplay and having fun. And it feels like a fun bonus, like a fun extra. yeah, this information should probably be in the game. It should be in the Gungeon Gunopedia or whatever it's called. I don't remember. But it's not, and it's on the wiki, and that's annoying. But that's different than like the fundamental base mechanics for survival being locked away in a wiki, which I think is a little bit rough. Now, if I'd played this game, you know, closer to, but you know what? Hey, look, again, thousands of people have figured it out. We'll figure it out. No problem. Again, I definitely had fun at points. I'm gonna play this game again. I don't know if I'm gonna try to beat the second island. I'm in the middle of a run that's going okay, and you know I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna absolutely finish that particular run, but no guarantees for any of the following runs. I don't know. This is it's a tough game to review. Especially for me, because I'm working on a totally different system than the rest of my co-hosts, who really just screwed me over by starting with one system and then switching it up in the middle of the shows.
We've moved to an all emoji rating now.
Anyway, it's a 2.3. It's right ahead of Cube Chaos, because Cube Chaos wasn't like as infuriating as this game was at times, but I did find it to be more fun than Cube Chaos, and it's right behind Eldritch, which is not a terrible game. Eldritch, I think, is pretty decent. And I think Kingdom New Lands is pretty decent as well. Beautiful looking game, beautiful sounding game. Feels good to pick up coins. It's fun to watch your little guys run around. And I mean, isn't that really, doesn't that lie at the core of an RTS or a village management, a town management game? You just want to see little guys do little fun stuff. And you get to see it in this game twice, because it's on screen, both on the plane of play and in the reflection of the beautiful water in the foreground. So, next I'll kick it to Colin.
Oh, all right. So it's no Slay the Spire. Gotta make sure we mentioned at least once. We almost made it through.
That might be a new
read the term, but I had not said it. Yeah.
Well done.
I'm giving it a 6.5. I feel like, honestly, my rating is, it's somewhere between like seven, like high sevens and low sixes, based off of how I was feeling when I started playing. Like, I think that there's absolutely a different universe where I just played this and had like a different mood on the day that I started, and I managed to like understand one thing slightly differently, and I would have loved this game, or at least I would have liked it a lot more. I am not even necessarily sure, like I'm pretty sure I'm gonna go play it again after we're done with this podcast, and I might come back next time and be like, ah, no, this is like an 8.5. I there's a lot of uncertainty about this game for me, because it has so much of the stuff that I say that I want out of a game. Like, it's got a lot of the strategy stuff. It's got, like, it's very pretty. It's got good art.
Tower defense.
It's a tower defense. It's a strategy game. It's indie in the way that I like games, where it, like, feels like it's pushing a boundary that I didn't know. Like, I hadn't really thought, like, oh, what if a game was just 1D? And you just went back and forth. What if there's only three buttons? Like, how complicated, how strategic could you get with three buttons? I think, honestly, now that, like, I'm unleashed. I'm allowed to look at the wiki as much as I want. I've been reading the wiki for like half the time we've been on this podcast. I might have a much better time playing it now that I like understand the mechanics more, which is, it honestly is a complaint about the game. The longer we've done this podcast, the more like hardened my stance of you should be able to play the game without reading a wiki has become. And that's hard for me, because a lot of times I just want to read the wiki. I want to know exactly how it's working instantaneously. But I would say that people should play this game. It's not that expensive. It's very interesting. It's very novel. It's got value to it, even if you're not going to like it, just because it's different and it expands what you think about what games could be. So 6.5, but still recommend to play. So take that as you will.
All right. Well, this that leaves us with the true and best review That's me. And I'm going to go ahead and let you know what I said from the beginning. You know, what do you tell them what you're going to tell them? And then we told you. Now I'm going to tell you what I said. It's a 9 out of 10 masterpiece. This game is unlike any other game I've ever played. Like, this is a fresh dynamic that really, that novelty part of your brain, which is just like, whoa, this is like, I've never seen a game like this, that lights up. And then you struggle. You find that, you know, you some challenge. You fail and you're like, oh, how do I avoid that? And that motivates you because you want to win, to go and learn about it, to take notes, to do all that stuff. And I don't know, I guess I had no problem viewing the wiki when I needed to. I think it's something that you use occasionally. You shouldn't read the whole wiki before you start playing the game. But I think as an aid to help you as you're discovering what to do, because it's not about, you know, winning the game isn't memorizing the wiki. Winning the game is the execution of what you're learning. And so I'll just say that, yeah, I this game is, it's beautiful, it's unique, and at 9 out of 10, this is my fourth best roguelike game, and that puts it up there with Luck Be a Landlord, Inscription, and Hades. That's its peers. This game is that friggin' good. Of course, it's not a Slay the Spire 10 out of 10, or Rimworld, or Balatro, 9.5, but it's still extremely good game, and you would be, well, unless, I guess I can't say, I can't recommend to everyone, because there are three people here who disagree with me, but I don't know, I've always been right in the past, and you know, Will Wright will continue to be right going into the future.
Well, there's 10,000 people that would agree with you, so and 26,000 people who would agree with you for the sequel also. So yeah, I definitely think lots to agree with there. Similar games to Kingdom New Lands, I feel like, gosh, what was it? Another Raw Fury published game. Dome Keeper feels very similar to this in the sense of like pseudo tower defense, like do stuff on one phase of the day, do stuff on another phase of the day. Maybe more on the nose of like similar, and maybe more of like something to activate our the rest of our stupid chimp brains. Wall World feels very much like a Kingdom New Lands in the sense that it's like one directional, but there's like other kind of stuff to do. I mean, similar in that kind of maybe
not linear. It's a platformer.
Well, I mean, you're going up a line instead of left and right on a line. Anyway, Drill Core, I think, has kind of similar concepts to those. There's some good tower defense games that are on the stay tuned list for sure. Although, Will, I think you bounced off of Ember Ward. That one is pretty highly rated. Colin,
it's childish.
You've been trying to lobby for Nordhold. There's one called Talented.
I have not been trying to lobby for Nordhold.
Okay. There's one called Talented, which is like a zero button game where you are just at the center of the tower and like you are going through this Path of Exile style massive spider web of passives and stuff. There's Gnomes, which has come out, which is relatively recently, which is very somewhat interesting. And Will, I guess like I put this in the similar category here, maybe almost in just like tower defense ish terms, not so much of the linearity, but you've been playing a lot of The King is Watching.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be up there too. I'm not gonna give it a value yet, but it's a very good game. I'm up till 2 a.m. two nights in a row. That's my measure for a good game. And this Kingdom New also had me up till 2 a.m. many times.
Mm-hmm. And I'll throw this one in here, even though, like, I don't know, squint your eyes, maybe it's kind of similar. The Gnorp Apologue, I think, is kind of the idea of what I had in mind for this game, even though it wasn't. And I think that's probably fine, but that's more of like a straight up idle clicker game that is tagged roguelike for some reason, or roguelite or whatever for some reason. But anyway.
Yeah. Interesting game. I don't think it's roguelike, but. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the failure condition is, but anyway, yeah, definitely some similar games to check out. As we wind down our whopping 74th episode of this here podcast, you can write in all of your hate mail as to why we're bad at RTS games.
Or at least three people here.
For grogpodzone@gmail.com. I forget what my...
Send your fan mail to Will.
Wait, hold on. Scott, I want to retract my not... lobbying for Nordhold. I was thinking of the game Northgard, which
oh, of course,
is very
understandable.
Yeah, sorry. Continue.
Oh, now I have to. I'm like, oh, what is that?
I was like, no, I haven't. I ruined his flow, absolutely but
I
not.
I needed to make sure that I wasn't besmirching a game that I might actually want to play.
4X board.
Good
game.
On you. Clarification
yeah,
noted.
Grogpodzone@gmail.com. Mastodon Grogpod at gavedemdoff place, where one Timothy J. Graham wrote into us to say that he's enjoying the show. He says, keep up the great work on the show. It's definitely a highlight of my fortnight. So thank you, Timothy, yep. for sending that in. And Grogpod,
hey, Timothy, thanks for writing in. Appreciate you. Love that a fellow Fortnite player is listening. That's great. And hey, you know, I once told somebody keep up the good work at a convention, and they said no thank you and shook their head. So I'm gonna do the opposite. I'm gonna say yes, and what a deal. Thank you so much, appreciate it.
And finally, grogpod.zone has all of our useless spreadsheets and the dumb numbers that we rank all the games and stuff on. But that's 74 episodes. We had to save something big for episode number 75 here, which happened to be a listener request episode. But we've been getting a lot of requests for this one and its sequel repeatedly. So what better way to kick off 75 episodes of me tricking these other three into doing this podcast for, God, almost 3 years now. We are playing one of the titans of the genre. Just happens to be a platformer. I'm sorry, Will. We are playing the 2011 release of Spelunky. Bum-bum.
Ooh-wee. That's a big one.
And yeah, I am very excited for this one. This was a game that kind of like encapsulates that early era of rogue games for me. And yeah, I think it will be a grand old hoot of frustration and spike traps and all sorts of nonsense, freeze rays and rampant shopkeeps and pugs that give you extra health. So stay tuned for that. Spelunky coming on up for our next episode. But to play us out from this one will be some meadowy tunes from your new land, your new kingdom, that will play just before the blood moon rises.